Today's message is going to be coming out of Matthew 25. If you want to go ahead and turn and get prepared for that. We're going to be talking about the 10 virgins. Five are foolish, five are wise. Or five was wise and five was unwise. So basically that's what the message of the sermon is going to be. Watch and be ready. And hopefully we can get this out here, because this is really my first time speaking to this church in a setting besides Wednesday night or Thursday night Bible study. So hopefully we could we'll have a good time, and it's going to be what Jesus wants to tell the church. So we're going to pray. And just be patient with me. Sometimes I get nervous and fumble. I don't read out loud too well, so just bear with me and let the Holy Spirit take over, please. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you because you are worthy, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that that has not took place yet, Lord. The seals have not been broken, because that's in the tribulation, Lord. And right now we're waiting for your return. And, Lord, we just anchor. And Lord, as the word comes forth, that our hearts would be enlightened and lifted, our spirits would be encouraged, Lord, that we'd be like an expectancy to know your return is imminent and could happen anytime, and that we should be prepared and be on the alert and be ready, watchmen on the wall, Lord, that your return wouldn't catch us unaware, and that we would be part of the wise virgins and not the unwise. And Lord, we just thank you that you are the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And we just thank you, Lord, that whatever spoken would be your word, not mine. And Lord, let the ears of the hearers be opened, Lord, and just be with those that are not here. Protect and guide them, Lord, and help us to do your will, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. All right. So if we got the open to Matthew, the setting is called the parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to the 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. Or unwise. For when the foolish took their lamp, they did not take extra oil with them. But the prudent ones took oil in their flask. Took oil in the flask and with their lamps. Now when the groom was delayed, they became drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there finally was a shout. Behold, the groom, come out and meet him. Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamp. But the foolish virgin said to the prudent ones, give us some of your oil, because our lamp had gone out. However, the prudent one answered, no, there's most certainly would not be enough for us and to give to you. Go instead to the merchant and buy some of for yourself. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the groom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Yet later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, because you do not know the day nor the hour. All right, so basically, watch and be ready. Jesus was telling them. This is a parable about five wise and five unwise virgins. It's a parable. It's basically a earthly story with a heavenly or a spiritual meaning. This is part of the Olivet Discord sermon, which he was, it was when he was on the Mount of Olives. The chapter before, the disciples asked, when is the sign of your return, and what should we look for? So Jesus goes through all the signs There's going to be perilous time. People are going to be lovers of their own flesh. There's going to be days of Noah's where people just, so on and on, he goes on about this, and he's speaking to Israel because it talks about Daniel and the abomination of the desolate when they would gather. He said, pray that it wouldn't be in the winter or you nursing a baby or on the Sabbath. Now, why would he be speaking to the Gentiles about the Sabbath? Because we don't keep the Sabbath. So basically, this is part of that discord. Now, however, people believe that this parable is for the Jewish people, and God is the husbandman, and Jesus and the bride is Israel. As we see in the Old Testament, one of the scriptures is in Hosea, where it talks about Jesus being God being the husband and the church, Israel being the bride. But we're going to look at it from this perspective as this is the church. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we, as the church, are the virgins. Now, it says 10 of them, 5 are unwise, 5 are wise. Now, how can that be? But there's so many parts, there's so many churches and religions that there's different different religions and stuff like that, but they're like, they don't have certain thing, and the certain thing is oil. So we're going to be talking about the oil. And the Old Testament, it represents the Holy Spirit. And pretty much is saying that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not in the part of the wise. So we want to look at that. To understand that, we have to look at a Jewish wedding. There were 3 stages of the wedding. The engagement, where the fathers, both fathers arranged the marriage. They were young. They didn't have any choice. They didn't. The families knew each other, but it was like, wasn't about love like we see now. You know, Hollywood shows, you know, Hallmark channels, we see Dovey and all that stuff. This wasn't the case. A lot of times it was the family said, this is who you're going to marry. And then it was arranged. That was the engagement. The second was the betrothal. If I'm saying it wrong, I apologize. But basically, it's a ceremony where they make mutual promises, make arrangement where dowries are paid. The groom pays the bridegroom a salary. It could be not monetary stuff, but different things. But it's a, they give it like a down payment, pretty much, for saying we're going to marry you, and this is what I'm paying for you. Kind of like buying something. It's kind of, but this is what they did in the customs back then. Basically, that coincides with what Jesus did on the cross for us. He paid that dowry. He paid that price for us on the cross, that for our sin debt, that we could be the bride of Christ. So we're looking at that. And then the third is and then the marriage was the third. Pretty much, so they would go do that promise, and then they would go. Usually they would go to the groom's house, and they would make room for a bride room in the house. So he would take, usually it took about a year or so to prepare that. So basically a little extra space upon the groom's father's house. It was a family thing. They didn't make their own house. Like we, when we bought our house, you know, we went and lived in a separate from our mom and dad and stuff like that when we got married. But this, they came and they built, so he would be working on that, but they would have like interactions with each other, getting to know each other, but they would have a third party there, so they never would be alone, because being pure was one of the most thing that they wanted to happen. So they didn't want nothing to say they, you know, pure, kind of like Mary and Joseph when he found out he was pregnant. The only way he could divorce her before they really actually consummated. So he had to go quietly, she would be stoned. So basically, and then the Bible says that the angel came and said, no, this is from the God, don't divorce her. So he took her as his wife. So basically we see that, and we see that Jesus at the when he first became ministry, came to the wedding party and the wine ran out. Basically, they would have a party, and they would last between 7 days. So after they consummated the marriage, it was kind of weird. The people would wait around, and then they would have a big party, and they would wait on them. And we don't do this now because we usually have a party afterwards, and then we go to our honeymoon, wherever it is, and then we come back in our normal life. But this, it was involved with family, and it was a time of celebration and feasting, and as we know, as Jesus, the wine run out, and Mary said, "Jesus, they're run out of wine." He said, "What do you want me to do about it?" She was like, pretty much saying, "Mama said we need wine." So he was like, "Okay, I'm gonna listen to my mama." So basically, that was that. And so basically, once that was completed, you know, and then the procession would happen. And we're going to get to the oil and the wine, you know, the oil. Basically, when he came, there would be a shout and a trumpet. And, I think it was a trumpet and then a shout, my bad. So it's a trumpet and then a shout. And we look in that, and that's like, wait a minute, that sounds a little familiar. It's like when Jesus said in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, it talks about when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ, the shout, the voice of the archangel. So it's a representation to me that this is the stage where Jesus is going to come back, and we're going to be carried away to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that happens for a 7-year period, basically. And then also it ties in with the end times, because the end times cannot start until the church is raptured, the man of lawlessness is revealed, the peace treaty is signed with Israel, then that 7-year period starts. Then in the middle of it is the desolation, where he stands up in the temple and declares he's God. And that's why he's speaking of that in Matthew 24. It talks about that. And then there's going to be a great tribulation on this earth that nobody's ever seen. And there will be only a few that will be, basically it's going, the church age ends with the rapture, and the time of Israel begins from that. And God will be dealing with Israel for that 7 years. So he's pretty much telling them, and a lot of people believe that it's speaking to Israel, you know, about that. But I believe, for not today, speaking to the church. And we look at the oil. We look at the lamp. It talks about the lamp. And then you think about the lamp. There's in the old, it said, don't hide your lamp under a basket. Well, that's kind of small, but this is talking about like a torch. Because with the procession, there was 10 bridesmaids, and they would go out. So when the trumpets out, they would light their torch, and that's how they knew who the wedding party was. Well, these, they had 10, there was 10 of them, and then when they went to light it, the one wasn't, it kind of lit up a little bit, sparked a little bit, but it didn't do it. And then the 5 was ready, and they were like, Give me your oil. I need some oil, because the other ones were prepared. They had an extra thing, so they probably dipped it. They said it made ready. They dipped it. They lit it. And so that's how he knew who was in the wedding party, because there was, you know, if you didn't have a light, you were like a wedding crasher. So basically the light was lit. The groom, he came, and the 5 was ready, 5 wasn't. So we look at the church today. How many of you is ready? How do we know if you're ready? It says the oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. We cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians, it talks about we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And if he says in Romans 8, and he don't know us unless we are known by the Spirit. So unless you have the Holy Spirit, we are not ready to meet the Lord. And we will not be, when that wedding feast comes, we will not be entered in. There will not be no invitation. So the church today is dysfunction because we have a lot of these people that are, they don't believe this, they don't believe that, or they water down the truth. They don't tell the truth. They don't speak the truth. They don't even do the scripture anymore. It's a flamboyant motivational speaking, and it's no truth in there. They're mixing little lies with a little bit of truth, but it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The truth is God is, Jesus is the only way to God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me but through him. So it's pretty much, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. If you don't know God, you don't know Jesus. The Holy Spirit is that conduit that comes into us when we are saved. When we accept Jesus, we admit that we're a Savior, we believe in him, we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. It says it's a cutting away of the heart, the circumcision of the heart, that we become regenerated, and Ephesians speaks about it, regeneration of the heart. We become new. We become spirit indwelled. But also the Bible speaks about being full with the Spirit, and it's a constantly, we're not, it's like don't be drunk with the wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we have, it's a constant battle. It's a relationship. And if we don't know our groom, then how, and we don't have that Holy Spirit, he's not going to know us, because he says at the end, it says, I don't know you. I don't know you. Depart from me. And it's like, how many people think, or they're like coattails on the church? They go to church, they sit in a pew, and they're, I'm a member, check. I give tithes, check. I don't know Jesus. Well, I know Jesus. I believe in him. Do you make him Lord of life? I like to do the gospel my way. I like Jesus in my own way. I'll do it my way. Kind of like that song. But Jesus says if you don't do it his way, he don't know you. And you can do, and it says, didn't I do all these things in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I preach the gospel? Didn't I give to the church? Didn't I do good? It's not enough to do good. It's enough. We have to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, but also in be a relationship with him. Pray, read the Bible, fellowship with like-minded believers, study his word to show it to prove. We have to work with that, Lord. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, we are sealed. Now, a lot of times we sin and we backslide a little bit. And it talks about that in, Revelation, where it talks about the different church. You have lost your first love. And he said, because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of your mouth. And that's where a lot of the church is. They're lukewarm. They're cold, and then there's some hot, but very few hot. But the Bible said we should be alert and be ready. So when that time comes, because all of them, they were sleeping. They slumbered because the bridegroom delayed. We don't know the hour or the day that his return, because there's two returns, one in the air and one when Jesus comes, sets his foot on the Mount of Olives and crushes it, pretty much what the Bible says. And that's what we're talking about, is we're talking about the second coming. When he meets us in the air and he calls his church, his bride, to him, and then we shall go with him and meet him in the air. Then we'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, what is this marriage supper of the Lamb? It's basically a 7-year period where we celebrate with Jesus. And I'm sure there's going to be some good eats, because he created all the food down here. And I don't know about you, but steak is really good. Chicken's really good. Vegetables, fruits, and all that's good. So I'm sure if he made some good food down on here, he's probably made healthy food for up there, but it's going to taste good, because the healthy food sometimes tastes not too good. And I'm going to say that. But some of that's man-made stuff. But Jesus, and we're going to feast with him. We're going to supper. And I believe it says we're going to be like him. We're going to be transformed in that heavenly body like Jesus was when he came back from, and it says, you know, he touched his hands and feet. You can see the scars, But he was like, he could go through a room. So I believe that our body, so once that twinkle in an eye, we're going to change, be formed, and change into a body with no pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. And his, you know, we prayed on Thursday talking about his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be changed. When that trump sounds, we're going to hear that call. And I believe that a lot of the people down here on earth, they're not, if they're, it's like here, they heard it. But I don't know if they're going to hear it or not. They're going to see people disappearing. It says one's going to leave the field, one's not, while they're working. So we could come in. I wanted to bring some clothes and set them on, like everybody's thing. And like sometimes, but that's like a joke, like did we miss the rapture? But if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and it's that confirmation with that, then you have no worries. It says, John talks about if we, you know, we're bear witness. And a lot of times you go out and you meet people and you say something's different about you. You find out they're Christians because that spirit bearing witness with them. But a lot of times people, they're religious or they're like, I believe in spiritual. Now the new thing is I'm spiritual. But if you don't have that relationship, you being born again, talks about Nicodemus. He said, how can I be born again? He said, you must be born of the water and the spirit. But it's not talking about baptism. It's talking about being born of a woman. And everybody here is born of a woman because that's how God created it. And if we're born of the spirit, then we're born again. We're renewed. And that's what he's looking for. And then we're the purpose of us to be doing that. It's to make disciples, to go out and preach the gospel and baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's our, we're make disciples. Jesus brings them in. We're his hands and feet on this earth. We're supposed to be light to this darkness, and that's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We're supposed to be light, not hate. We're supposed to love. We're not supposed to hate. We're supposed to tell them the truth and love. But that's how we know if we have. Now, Terry, she knew that I liked the oil and stuff like that. So she got me, this is from Israel. It's olive oil in a little vat. And it's pure olive oil from Israel. And it's neat because it's like, this is the representative. And James talks about, you know, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and they'll anoint you with oil. And the prayer of the faith shall say, to heal you in the prayer that you were pretty much confess your sins and you'll be good to go. So basically it's just that Holy Spirit is that healing, but it's not the oil, it's the representative of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. He said the same Spirit that lives in, that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. We are, we're a powerful person, but we don't know who we are in Christ. But once you realize who you are in Christ, then we can go and be that light to this world. And because this is our benefit. Our benefit is one day we're going to have eternal life with Christ. And when it says once that 7 years is done, we're going to come back with Christ when he comes to this earth. We're going to come and judge with him this earth. And that's going to be, we're going to be privileged to do that because We have gave our life to Christ, and that's one of our benefits, is and we'll reign with him forever. And I encourage everybody today that if your light is dim, if you haven't trimmed your wick a little bit, because basically when you trim that wick, it makes a brighter light, and got that oil, or you got it wrapped around, whatever you don't want to see, got that torch, you dipped it, whatever, you could straighten it up. Let's get it up. Let's get it high. Let's get it lit. If it ain't lit, let's get it lit today. And all it is coming and confessing to God that you need a Savior and you're a sinner and you need him. And if you hadn't done that today, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will be convicting you right now. If you're in a backslidden position or you just maybe in a bad way or got some hate in your heart, and the Bible says if we hate people, or if we won't forgive people, he won't forgive us. So if you got hatred in your heart towards people, or you got bitterness and stuff, he won't hear you. Let's take care of that bitterness. Let's get that out. It's time for the church to arise and light your torch bright and let it shine before men so they can see Jesus, the Holy Spirit through us, and that we were with Jesus just like Stephen was when he was stoned. They cut to the heart because he was telling them, "You crucified our Christ," and their hearts were pricked, but they knew he was with Christ, and they knew they were uneducated. Even in Acts, it talks about uneducated. It don't matter what your background is. It don't matter what denomination you are or whatever. If I'm tired of hearing denomination. I'm tired of hearing. I had somebody ask me, what religion are you? I am a Christian. I am a born-again believer. I have a relationship with my Jesus Christ, my Savior. Am I perfect? No. But by his stripes, by his blood, we are cleansed from that, Lord, and then he deals with our hearts, the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. And I was talking to, and she said she was Jehovah's Witness, and I just kind of didn't push anything out like religion type. I just said, it's a relationship with me. I know it's not about works. It's not about that. It's about a relationship with my Savior, my Lord. That's the difference between religion and relationship. We're not working to do anything. He paid it all. He's already did it. All we have to do is admit that we're not anything. And that today, I just want us to think about our lives and like stuff that we do and say, is it glorifying God? Is our light shining bright? Are we ready? Are we prepared to meet the Lord and not to be ashamed? And I heard it hurt my heart a couple years ago. It was on the radio, and it was a secular radio, but it was a pastor saying he was calling all his brothers and sisters saying, when Jesus come back, will he find you in the bed of another woman? And I was thinking, oh my gosh, what is going on? And it's because people don't know. They believe they're Christians. They do. They're churchy. They go shout it all up, but they go around Monday through Saturday. They live like the devil. How is that a relationship? It's not. And that's part of the unwise. I believe that's part of the unwise virgins. They think they're ready, but they're not. The wise were ready. And even if they were sleeping, though, once they woke up, they had the initiative to get their torch ready and light it and stuff like that. So everything the parable says is not exactly, you know, like that, but it's a parable. Jesus was showing, and the time the people would know, the wedding party, they would know exactly what he's talking about. But a lot of it would be like, what is the 10 virgins? You know, there's only one. You know, when you marry somebody, there's only one. You don't marry 10. But basically, it's a parable. It's just a story for a heavenly meaning. And he was telling disciples this, be ready, be ready. And I'm asking you today, are you ready or are you not? We can get ready or we can stay the way we are and miss God. So to wrap it up, that's the whole point of this parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 was unwise. Which are you in? And it's so easy to fix that. If you're not in, you can come and we can pray with you. And we can lead you to Christ or just pray with you. And it's just all you have to do is repent and turn away and turn to Jesus, the groom. So do you want to be part of the bridesmaid procession? Will you enter in, or do you want to get told, I don't even know you. Get away. I don't know you, you wicked servant. And this is part of different. It's in other parables in there that he talks. It's the same thing. It talks about being wise or unwise. But it's basically, are you ready to meet the Lord in the air when that trumpet sound? Are you going to hear the call? And is he calling you right now? Maybe there's aspects in your life right now that you're struggling with. If you need prayer for anything, I mean anything, it doesn't matter. We're not going to judge you. Nobody's going to judge you. Jesus is here. His Spirit is here. If he's speaking to you, I'm going to invite you when the music starts to come. And I'm going to ask Robin. She's going to be over here, and I'm going to be over here. And I'm going to ask Leroy to turn off the lights when we get ready to, we're going to get ready to song. And I just beg you, the time is now. And Mike said it last week. Today is the day of salvation. The day is a new day. So what are you going to choose? You're going to choose, it says you either choose him or you're against him. So if you need prayer for a refreshing, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, come. If you want to come, just pray up here. It doesn't matter. Pray at your seat. It doesn't matter. Make your heart right. If there's anything God's dealing with you, make it right. We want to be at the wedding party. We don't want to be a crasher. We want to be invited. And we want to join. And we want to be say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Come and enter in. That's what our hope is today.